We thank you once again for tuning in to Rightly Dividing a Word of Truth. And as we go through the book of Matthew in a dispensational view, we're in Lesson 9. And we're in Matthew chapter 3 of Lesson 9. And we left off with verse 2. Verse 1 says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at what? Hand." Okay? The repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is the focus of John's message. And if you will, be turning to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and get Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. The issue in Israel was to have the days of heaven, okay, upon earth. And you hear what I'm saying? The issue with Israel at this time is to have the days of heaven on earth. And how are they going to have that? How are they going to have the days of heaven upon this earth? They take the Word of God, okay, and they obey it with every precept and details of their life. When Jesus taught the disciples, okay, to pray, "Thou kingdom come." Many of you have probably been brought up on that prayer, haven't you? "Thou kingdom come. Thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That this is a passage that we're thinking about. Okay, that's the way it's going to be done. The kingdom of heaven has to do with days of heaven being executed on this earth. In Daniel chapter 2, I gave you some verses. Daniel chapter 2, "After the times of the Gentiles is over, all those Gentile kingdoms will be destroyed, won't they? And then there's one kingdom arises." In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, I told you go to Deuteronomy. Here's Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for how long? Forever." So what is the kingdom of heaven? God's going to set up a kingdom on this what?
Earth,
okay? Sir?
One nation,
okay? The kingdom of heaven is when God of heaven shall set a kingdom that replaces all the kingdoms of the world. You know, I can't help thinking about Matthew when Satan took the Lord up on that pinnacle and showed him what? The kingdoms of the world. He said, "If you bow down to me, I'll give you these things." You think about that. The kingdoms of the world. Think in your mindset right now about the kingdoms of the world throughout the world today. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, comes to pass, and this is another verse I'll tell you about. It says, verse 15 says, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." That's Revelation 11:15. So I'm just trying to share something with Daniel chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 15. The kingdoms of heaven is a universal kingdom that will never end. The kingdom will be brought in by the who? Who's going to bring the kingdom then?
Jesus,
the Messiah. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, you're there, right? Deuteronomy chapter 7.
What was Deuteronomy 11?
Oh, I need Daniel chapter 7 and Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'll get to Deuteronomy here in a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 11.
Are we going to Daniel 7?
Yeah, Daniel 7. Daniel 7 and Deuteronomy 11. Look at Deuteronomy 11 right quick. Flip it over there. Verse 21. Verse 18 says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou layest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates." What are they going to write? Look at this. "Thou, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord," see that big L-O-R-D? "The Lord swear unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth." That's the same as Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. That's being prophesied. That's a prophesied kingdom. Daniel chapter 7 says, verse 13, "I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him, the Son of Man, dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. His kingdom that shall not be," what? "Destroyed." And the prophetic program that many of you know about in Daniel, he's prophesizing about a future, what? Kingdom. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, they're talking about the days of heaven upon earth. When Jesus tells them to pray, "Thy Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," they're praying the heaven to come down. You know, you and I know in the dispensation of grace, we don't pray the heaven come down here. What we pray to, what? To go to heaven. You know, we're wanting to go there. In the prophetic program of the Son of Man, the Messiah, that Messiah receives the authority from the Ancient of Days, God the Father, to administrate the kingdom. Here, and He comes. So when the Lord Jesus shows up, He shows up as the Son of Man in the book of Matthew. All this is being laid out in the prophetic program who Jesus Christ is and was. Let me ask you something. Is this kingdom that they're talking about, is it a literal, physical, visible, earthly kingdom that be ruled over by the Messiah?
Yes, sir.
You know that, don't you? You know that. You know the vast majority of Christianity or Christian denominations believe that the kingdom John the Baptist is preaching is about a spiritual kingdom? Many of us have been in all types of doctrines in our life, haven't we? Been to all types of churches. We probably never really sit down and wonder about this. But it is called amillennialism. You ever heard that? How about postmillennium? You know what all means? Who studies Latin in here?
Before
or ah. What does atheist mean? Ah means no. Theos is what? God. No ah millennia is no millennium. They're either no millennium or post-millennium. Okay? Amusement. We've done been over this before. You go to an amusement park. Ah means no. Muse means thinking. So you're going to pay to not to think, to walk. You know, that's a great thing, isn't it? Look, every seminary, and this might ruffle some feathers out there, every Bible college, every university has sewed it with the National Council of Churches. Many of you may have heard of that before. Or the World Council of Churches, and every other mainline denomination in Christendom or Catholicism subscribes to an amillennialist view. That is, that the kingdom that John is talking about is a spiritual kingdom. You're shaking your head. The reason for this confusion is what? They're not rightly dividing the Bible and understanding the program that God has set up in the dispensation of grace, which is the mystery. They explain away the kingdom. that John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus talked about, because the kingdom is not here. And they make it into the body of Christ. You see how they can do that? Well, there's not the kingdom today. Where is it at? Is it in Jerusalem? No. Is it here? No. I heard preachers preach, big TV preachers preach that this is your Jerusalem, don't they? So you need to go out of this Jerusalem. That's an error. Jerusalem is Jerusalem. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23 and get Luke chapter 30. Jeremiah 23 and Luke chapter 1. Jeremiah 23 and Luke chapter 1. They say, a lot of people follow them, that it's a spiritual kingdom. They spiritualize with spiritual eyes, and therefore they tell spiritual lies. You have to spiritual put yourself in that. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. This won't be. You're going to see the kingdom will be on earth. Jeremiah 23, verse 4 says, I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismay, neither shall they be lacking, saith the
Lord.
Is that big caps or little caps? Now, who is that?
Jesus.
Okay, or who?
Jehovah.
Yahweh or? Jehovah, okay, thank you. Verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the big case or little case? Saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in a spiritual kingdom in the universe. Where's that at? In the earth. Verse 6, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our who?
Righteousness.
Now you see that, you got to see that big L-O-R-D, okay? It's talking about who? God, right? Luke chapter 1. And now where's his justice and never execute going to be? In the earth. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in a womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall be what? So where is this kingdom at?
On earth.
So when you look at the Davidic kingdom and you look at the kingdom that's going to be prophesied, it's going to be on this earth. Go back to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the who? Lord. Is that little K, uppercase or big case? Okay, now who's that? Who do you know that to be? Okay. Make his path what? Straight. The reason for repentance and the kingdom being at hand is because the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is on this earth as spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Let's compare Mark 11 to Luke 19 about this king and the Messiah. Mark 11, Mark 11. If there's a kingdom on this earth, there's something's got to be compared and interchanged with each other. Mark 11:10 says, "Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is the highest." You see that? Blessed be the kingdom of our who? Lord. Our father David, okay? Go to Luke chapter 19. I'm just sharing some things with you that you can study on your own. Luke chapter 19. Did I write down the wrong one? Luke 19:38 saith, Luke 19, verse 38, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the" what? So when you see the kingdom and the king, they're used interchangeable. Okay, when the kingdom is coming and Father David and blessed be the name of the king, that's an interchangeable term. You with me? Okay. In Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. It's very important to know this. Luke 17, verse 20. You got a king, you got a kingdom. Luke 17, 20. "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God shall come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within" who? The kingdom of God is within who? Now he's talking to those Pharisees. Is he saying the kingdom of God is within them? Okay. When I opened our church this morning, I said, "How art who? Ye." I didn't say thou. I brought that up later. Okay. This "you" is plural. I saw many of you shaking your head. Referring to the nation Israel. It is important to leave the King James Bible, if you will, in the old English language, because it makes a difference between "you" meaning plural and "you" meaning singly. "You" mean plural is what? Ye and who? You and ye. If I say, "Ye's welcome to my house tonight," or "you welcome my house tonight," who's that talking to?
Everybody.
Okay. But if I say, "Thee is welcome tonight," I'm singling you out, aren't I? That's a singular. Look at John chapter 1, verse 26. He's not saying that the kingdom of God is within you personally. He's saying the kingdom of God is within you as the nation. Okay? John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 26. John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not." There stands one among you whom ye know not. Now, is that the same thing as he said the kingdom of God is within you? John is saying who? That there's one that stands among you that you know not. You follow me on that? So it's very, very important to understand when you know the ye's and the you's, right? There's more. And the thee's and the thou's stops. When they looked at God, you know, that's why when they said, "Thou art God." With me? And the other, when they say, "Thou art God," who's it referring to? Everybody?
No.
No. John's preparing the way of the Lord. I just want to share that with you a little bit. If you want to go, turn to Malachi chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and Malachi 3. John is preparing the way of the Lord. And this is going to go back to a little bit what I was going to share with you about the big L's and the little L's. Okay? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 40, John, according to repent ye therefore for the kingdom of heaven's hand, he's preparing a way. Okay, this is where he finds that, right? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. And the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the big Lord or little Lord?
Big.
Okay, who is that?
Jesus.
Wait a minute now. Jehovah, right? Okay. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That's basically what John was saying, right? He was saying that written of the prophet Isaiah. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Do you know what the word Lord is there? I just asked you that. What is it? Jehovah, Yahweh, if you will. God. Okay? When it's all capital letters, it means it's Father or Jehovah. That's why when people would, you know, we look at Bibles, and I first thing I look at a Bible, if I don't know the maker, I go to Exodus chapter 3. It's Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. And it should say Jehovah. But a lot of Bibles will say Lord. Okay? That's a good test that you can share when you say, oh, I've got a King James Bible. Well, do you? You know, and you go back to Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, and it should say Jehovah. That's why when you read that on through the Bible, you'll know who that big L-O-R-D is. Jehovah. With me? Okay. When he says, prepare ye the way for the Lord, he is saying, prepare the way for Jehovah, God, right? I hope some of our JW friends out there are listening, because they don't think Jesus is God, right? Okay? This is a good textual verse you can use in Scriptures to prove that Jesus is God. Now, where did I say turn to?
Malachi.
Okay. When Malachi 3, get Malachi 3, and while you're turning there, I'm going to read something to you. John the Baptist says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, for this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Who is John saying that Lord is?
Jesus.
But who else, according to Isaiah? God. Jesus is God. Okay, you with me on that? You should keep that in memory there, because you're going to stand toe-to-toe with people that don't believe Jesus is God, and you can prove right there. He says Jesus is God. That's a good proof test. Malachi chapter 3, 1, and this is describing John. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi chapter 3, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel, to Malachi. Wait a minute. Sorry, I was reading 1, verse 1. I've got to turn. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of a covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So God, the Lord of hosts, is saying that Jesus is coming, right? You with me? To prepare the way of the Lord, saith Jehovah God. John is describing who is being sent. This verse, go to Mark chapter 1. Now you just read right there Mark chapter 1. This verse is quoted in Mark chapter 1. What I'm trying to share with you, in Malachi chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 40, those verses are very clear that Lord Jehovah is spoken, that He is going to send Jesus Christ as Lord to the nation Israel. And who is Jesus when He appears on this earth? Lord, God. Okay? I don't think anybody has any issues with that, but Jesus is God. Amen? Okay, he's not just a man, or Michael's half brother, or brother, whatever that case may be. What we just read, Malachi, is quoted in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. In the beginning was the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messengers before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. You know, without having a Bible version class here, if you got another version of the King James Bible, it says by the prophets of who? It says Isaiah wrote that. But what is that? What does your Bible say? By the prophets. You read in Isaiah chapter 40, and you read in Malachi chapter 3, the same two things that John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3. And what does this say? By the prophets. It is written by in the prophets. He took both of those verses, see? You can't say Isaiah wrote it when it was you just read it in Malachi. And we've got some other Bibles over there if you want to check that out later. Verse 2 is not in Isaiah, by the way. It's in Malachi that we just read in Mark. And when you go do that type of thing, you end up with an incomplete Bible. You with me? When you start doing some things like that. You eliminate the proof text that shows that Jesus was Jehovah in the Old Testament. But isn't it a wonderful thing to know that the Lord Jesus Christ who came is manifested in the person of the Godhead. He is God manifested. Amen? He was exactly what Isaiah said He would be. God with us. All of that is wrapped up in what John is doing. Go back to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And you have one in those days, John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." If you notice what John's doing there, he is the voice of one crying where? In the wilderness. He is wearing the prophet's garb, if you will. This is a tremendous dispensation issue that begins with John. Now the kingdom program is going to be preached. Remember what we talked about last couple lessons? Before John was the law and the prophets. And here comes John the Baptist. He's adding something to the law and the prophets, which is what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You're going to find the king introduced by John and authenticated by his father and begin to proclaim the message of his kingdom. Once again, the book of Matthew, the book of Acts, the book of Hebrews are transitional books which signify dispensational changes take place. The book of Matthew, long-awaited prophesied king and kingdom are at hand, transitioning from the law and the prophets to the gospel of the kingdom. The book of Acts, another opportunity for the nation Israel to accept her crucified Messiah, which she didn't, we know, right? She didn't. So the transition from the prophetic program into the mystery program where Israel set aside. In the book of Hebrews, the mystery program is concluded, prophetic program picks up again and transitions from the Old Testament to the New Testament, or the New Covenant. The Old Covenant to the New Covenant. So when John the Baptist comes on scene, there's a lot to do there. That's why the book of Matthew is a transitional book. You're starting to see some things. Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. Let's look at this right quick. Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. John's raiment was what? Camel's hair, and meat was locusts and honey. You know who this is a description of? Somebody else in your Bible is like that. Go to 2 Kings. Go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, get 2 Kings chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 11. 2 Kings chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 11. 2 Kings chapter 1 and Matthew 11. Yes, sir. Matthew 11. 1. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8. And they answered him, he was a hairy man, is girt with a girdle of leather about his loins, and he said, it is Elijah the who? Tishbite, right? So when somebody said, hey, he's a hairy man, and his loins are girded with leather, who did they say it was?
Elijah.
Okay, with me? Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. Matthew 11, 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. John who? John the Apostle? John the Baptist, right? What went ye out into the wilderness to see? There's a question there. A reed shaken in with the wind? Now here's one voice crying in the wilderness. He's outside of Jerusalem, by the way. Okay? He's not downtown Jerusalem belling up with all the Pharisees and Sadducees eating religious food and drinking religious wine or whatever you want to drink. You with me? He's somebody outside the camp. This could be a good picture for us. But keep reading. But what went ye out to see, for ye to see? He's still asking, isn't he? A man clothed in soft raiment? You with me on this? Jesus Christ is describing John the Baptist. He says, behold, there they that wear soft raiments are in kings' houses. But what ye went out to see, a prophet, yea. And I say unto you, more than a prophet. You got that? He's more than a prophet. Who's he describing? He even says in verse 10, for this is he whom it is written, behold, I send my messengers before thy face, and which shall prepare thou the way before ye. John was a prophet. You know, he was the first prophet since Israel, sent to Israel for some 400 years of silence. From Malachi to Matthew, it's 400 years of silence. Hey, that's a good study for you. Study what was spoken in 400 years of silence. Think about that for a minute. 400 years of silence. In Luke chapter 1:19, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke 1:19, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1, verse 17, excuse me, verse 17, Luke 17, and he shall go before him, check this out, and he shall go before him to the, in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To make ready who? A people. Didn't we read in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, Lord is Jehovah?
Yeah, it's God.
Okay? And he's preparing, and he, John went out to prepare a way and prepare a people, okay, that will turn their hearts. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, look at this. Malachi chapter 4, 1 through 5. We'll get through these verses. Malachi chapter 4, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubbled, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them their neighbor root nor branch, neither root nor branch. Verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for thou shalt be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, and the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
All that's dealing with Israel.
Israel.
Not the Gentiles.
And it's referring to where? Ages to come. But who's he's going to send before Elijah? And who shows up on the scene?
John the Baptist,
dressed in what?
Like Elijah.
These verses that you read connects John and Elijah together. Okay? John pays the ways at Christ's first coming, don't he? Okay? Elijah pays the way to Christ's second coming as the prophets. You with me? The second coming of judgment, for judgment. Matthew chapter 17. Did we read that? Look at this real quick. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, Matthew 11. Matthew 17. And what Brother Walt just mentioned, these has to do with the nation Israel, not the Gentiles, is very, very important, because you're rightly dividing the word of truth and you're understanding the book of Matthew in the dispensational view, and you're getting a picture. See, that's why it's very, very important when we start studying the book of Matthew, you're going to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing for the nation Israel, through the nation Israel, preparing the nation Israel and the little flock, we're going to see in verses later on, to go and endure some things over here and survive. It's almost like a constitution, if you will, and policy for them to govern themselves. Matthew 17, verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then saith the scribe that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah, truly. By the way, that's a Greek spelling of the Hebrew. Many of you know that. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of who? John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I know these are a lot of verses, but you can go back and listen to it. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we just read, what did we read a while ago? We read 7 through 9. Now here's 11 through 14. 11 through 14, verily I say unto you, among them which was born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. If Israel had received her king that John the Baptist prepared the way for, then John would have been who?
Elijah.
Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou the prophet? And he answered, No. Verse 22. And he said unto them, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. How many times have we read that? Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Elijah. So John the Baptist is saying, I'm not. Okay, Jesus Christ is saying he is if you received him. Okay, but what saith the scriptures? I'll tell you something else in closing for this lesson. A lot of people will base their denomination or Baptist belief on John the Baptist. You ever notice that? You know, where did your church? We started with John the Baptist. Can I tell you, he did not come to the Gentiles. John the Baptist was an Israelite, a Jew, if you will, that did not spend 1 minute in the dispensation of grace. He got his head cut off. And you're going to base your doctrine on John the Baptist. You think about that. Till next week.